أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات We were discussing in the previous lecture about the fact that how the concept of Iman is divided and distributed to various parts of the human body. And various parts of the human body have a share of Iman. And we discussed about a little bit about the share that human hands have about Iman and the share that the human feet have towards the Iman and the share that the human ears have towards the Iman and the share that the human eyes and the share that the human tongue has and last of all that we did not discuss yet was the share that the human soul and the heart, the qalb has which is the largest share and that's where the home of Iman is. Probably we may end up talking about the share of qalb in the next Thursday, inshallah, because there are a little bit of certain things remaining to discuss. We were talking about how Islam has provided a comprehensive moral values-based system to improve the life of the humankind. We talked about, and most of these things are either related to the tongue or related to our practical behaviors, which you can say related to our hands and feet. And obviously, when we walk around and we do our fara'id and duties, then it will naturally engage the hand, the feet, the eyes, the ears, and the tongue all together. So we talked about al-ifsha bis-salam, how Islam is asking us to expressly say the salam, regardless whomsoever, whether it's an elderly person or a middle-aged person or a child, we should expressly say the salam. This is a sign of tawadhu and modesty. We talked about al-widad ma'an-nas, means doing mudarat and good loving, amicable behavior with the people, so we don't repel the people away from us. And we talked about al-islah, islah wa zatil bayn, that means rooting out the differences between two mu'mins, not just addressing the matter from the surface. And what is remaining is just a few more moral, obviously the moral teachings are a lot. I'm just talking about some of the very important ones. Respect of the akabir, respect of the elderly people in Islam. We have the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Where he says, "Laysa minna man lam yuqir kabirana, walam yarham saghirana." This is from Majmu'at Waram, and also from Wasail al-Shia. That means our sixth Imam says that someone who does not respect our elders and doesn't have mercy on our young, our youth, is not one of us. Is not amongst us. So basically these kinds of statements, laysa minna, not amongst us, proves the fact that we are not entitled to be called the true Shias and followers of Ahlul Bayt if these traits and attributes are not found in the soul. So respect of the elders, our elders, we need to consider elders like our father and mother. So regardless of who the elder is, if there is an elderly person, and some of the ahadith, in the light of the ahadith, we learn that a sheikh, an elderly person, the word sheikh in Arabic has several meanings. One of the meanings is an elderly person. A sheikh person in the society is like a prophet sent to a town by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the kind of respect Allah holds for an elderly person who is obviously pious and practicing the Sharia. And obviously the beard which gets white and turns grey in the obedience and ita'at of Allah has a lot of respect. So we need to give respect to the elderly people of our society. And nasihat, another significant moral value in Islamic moral system is nasihat, advice. We need advices in all stages of our life, regardless of who we are. Regardless of what level of maqamat ar-ruhaniya or ahwal an-nafs, what level of, there's a difference in ilm al-akhlaq between maqam and hal. Maqamat and ahwal of the nafs. So maqamat are God-gifted levels to those who are doing tazkiyatun nafs and asar wa suluk ilallah. Allah avoids certain levels to certain people who are striving and doing jihad against their desires on his path. Whereas ahwal are levels which we acquire with our efforts. So there's a difference between maqamat and ahwal. So whatever maqam of nafs you may reach in the stages of tazkiyah, and whatever hal and level and ahwal and conditions of the and situations of the soul that you may have in your stage, we always stand in need of nasihat. And obviously, because of the fact that we are jahil, because of the fact that we know very less, and because of the fact that the unknowns are more than the knowns. You know, majhulat are way more than the ma'lumat and ma'kulat that we have. And not just that, but even if we have the, majhul and unknown is converted into ma'lum and ma'kul for us, intelligible and known reality, still there is a room of practicing it correctly or not practicing it correctly. So hikmatun ilmiya, the intellectual wisdom is found for so many. But the hikmatun amaliya, the practical wisdom is nadir on the planet of earth. Nadir Nudratan. Really, you will find mu'mineen who have hikmatun amaliyah. So what we require for our high levels with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our success is not just hikmatun ilmiyah, which is not a guarantee for our success, but what we require is hikmatun amaliyah. In order to increase in our amal, we require nasihat. So there were lots and lots of scholars. There are today lots and lots of scholars, but not every alim has hikmatun nazariyah. So that's why every alim cannot serve as a hadi and guide for the Islamic Ummah. Only those who can serve as a hadi and guide towards Islamic Ummah, who in addition to hikmatun nazariyah, intellectual wisdom, they also have the practical wisdom, which is what is required for our success. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, and that's narrated in Rawdatul Muttaqin, أَحَبُّ إِخْوَانِي إِلَيَّ مَنْ أَحَبُّ مَنْ أَهْدَى إِلَيَّ عُيُوبِي. The most beloved of my brothers is the one who gifted to me my faults, my defects. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam doesn't have any faults. Isn't it right? He's ma'soom. That's the way they are teaching us. Our scholars say these kinds of teachings are like you find in the du'as of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. They are mentioning about their sins and seeking tawbah and istighfar towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have any sins. Our scholars say that these du'as of Ahlul Bayt are ta'limiyya. That means they are teaching us, the sinners, the etiquettes and adab, how to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here again in the hadith he says, أَحَبُّ إِخْوَانِ إِلَيَّ. So first of all, we find that the person who is doing nasihat towards you, lillah, for the sake of Allah, has to be beloved in your eyes. Don't hate the person. Don't dislike the person. You need to consider him as mahbub. Imam Sadiq Islam says, ahabbu ikhwani ilayya. The most beloved of all the brothers of mine is the one who gives nasihat to me, who gifts the nasihat to me. The next point is that he uses the word ahda. This is from hadiyya, and gifting the nasihat. You know, when you go to a birthday party or any other positive celebration of a mu'min, and you carry a gift for that person, do you just throw it on his face like that? No, you buy a nice, possibly a wrapper, a paper, gift card, isn't right? Gift box, you know, right? In a presentable way, in a nice carrying bag, isn't it right? So you can gift it in a nice and respectful and honorable way, isn't it right? So this is how we do the gifts. That's how we gift each other. We don't just throw the gift in a way or mention it on his face in a way that he gets repelled. So ahda ilayya, nasihat, when we are doing, if we do it in a bad way, it is basically in a lot of times counterproductive. So that we are not doing the job then. And also in another hadith and from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says that ma ahda al muslimu li akhihi hadiyatan afdal min kalimati hikmatin tazidu huda aw taruddu an rada. There is no Muslim giving a gift to his brother superior than a word of wisdom. So the best gift a mu'min can give, a Muslim can give to his brother, is a word of wisdom, kalimat hikmah. That's how he can cause increase in his guidance, and wa tarudduhu an rada, and he can basically stop him from downfall and descent. So this is about this is a little bit about nasihat. And then we have iyadatul marwa. Another very significant component of Islamic moral value system is paying a visit to the sick. When we discover that somebody, some mu'min, is mareed and sick, we pay a visit. If you cannot pay, you can call them, you can send email to them, isn't it right? At least we make sure that we inquire about the health of a person. Paying visit itself has a lot of reward. And the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says in Fasail al-Shia, "Man aada maridan shayya'ahu 70,000 malak." Whoever pays a visit to a marid, a sick person, 70,000 angels accompany him. Shayya'ahu 70,000 malak. Yastaghfiruna lahu. These angels are not just walking with you for nothing. They are doing istighfar for you. Hatta yarji'a ila manzilihi. Until this person returns back to his house. So 70,000 angels are going with you. It's a very important event taking place. 70,000 angels are accompanying you, and they are constantly doing it. 70,000 ma'soom, infallible individuals are doing istighfar for you. So we get our sins forgiven, isn't it right? And Aidul Marid Yahudo Firrahma Iva Jalasa Irtamasa Fiha. The person who pays a visit to a sick person, he is in the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he sits. That's why when we go and pay a visit, we should sit down next to the Marie's person, not just standing and just walk away and try to look at your watch and know I have a meeting to attend, so I just run away as soon as I can. No, try to spare some time out, because this is a very important event, and sit next to the Marie's person. He feels comfortable that you are spending some time with him, because if you sit, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Idha jalasa irtamasa fiha." When you sit, when this person sits, he is drowned and he immerses himself in the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is about iyadatul marwa. So much needs to be said. That's, you know, a very elaborate subject. I'm just touching on some of the most important moral values here. Silatul rahim, paying visit, staying in touch, staying in contact, staying intact with their Zawil Arham and relatives. Zawil Arham is a very elaborate concept of Islam. Your in-laws and your personal relations, your blood relations, they are all part of Shar'an. Your in-laws and your personal relatives, they are all part of the Zawil Arham. So you cannot say, they are my in-laws, so that's not my blood relationship. This is your take on Islam. Islam doesn't distinguish that kind, doesn't put that kind of line. When you enter into a marriage relationship, then your in-laws and your blood relatives, they are all your zawil arham. So Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, Silatul Rahim. Silatul Rahim. تزكي الأعمال وتنمي الأموال وتدفع البلوى وتيسر الحساب وتنسي الأجال. That's in Al-Kafi. So Silatul Rahim, staying in touch with your relatives, with the relatives, that's, in other words, it causes your A'mal and actions to be purified. Our actions need to be purified to be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become maqbool and accepted in Allah's eyes. Isn't it right? We need tazkiyatul a'mal. So how can we make sure this amal is purified enough to be presentable and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepted? One of the reasons for that is silatul rahim. Wa tunmi al amwal. It gives increase. Tunmi is from numu. In Arabic it means growth, increase. It causes increase your money. Those are the people who don't have jobs. Those are the people who don't have nicely paid jobs where they cannot, you know, break even their legitimate expenses. One of the very effective ways of increasing, confirmed increase in your money and sustenance is paying a visit to your relatives. Go and pay a visit to your relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase in your maal. وَتُنِّي الْأَمْوَالِ وَتَدْفَعُ الْبَلْوَى. It rebels and it rejects away the turmoils and calamities that we face. or to yassir al-hisab, in other words. And it makes the hisab and accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala easy for us. If we stay in touch with our relatives, our hisab is easy in the eyes of Allah. Sometimes we live far away, on far away corners and countries and cities of the world, that we may not have time to practically and physically pay a visit to all our relatives. It is understandable. Even in the old times, not everybody could travel on a camel or on a donkey or a mule far away from Medina to all the way to, you know, Tashkent, for example. Not everybody can travel, isn't it right? But at least we have the niyat. Whenever we get a chance, of staying in touch, we will do all what is in our reach to pay a visit, to meet with them, to say salam to them, to inquire, to help them, to provide our help, to basically stay in touch. You know, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that silu arhamakum walau bis salam. Stay in touch with your relatives, although it is with a salam. Once in a while you can call them, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? This is also part of the Silatul Rahim. But the Urful Uqala should not say that you have no relation to this relative. Like, it never happens that you call or you email or you are in touch. You had the opportunity to be in touch, but you ignored. This is what the Urf will call that you are, you know, breaking away from your relatives. Because all the masadiq, all the titles of the Sharia applied according to the application in itlaq, al-itlaqat al-urfi, how the urf takes it. So, to yassir al-hisab, silatul rahim helps, makes your hisab and accountability easy. And tunsi al-ajal, it makes the death. Basically to forget the debt. So basically what we learn in the light of this hadith, you will certainly, as a confirmed matter, you will have length and increase in your age. If you are in touch with your relatives, certainly your age will increase. Kifalatul Aitam, another very important part of the value system of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that's in Tafsir Nur al-Thaqalain, Volume 5, أنا وكافل اليتيم كهاتين في الجنة إذا اتقى الله عز وجل وأشار بالسبابة والوسطى. Prophet pointed with his middle finger and the index finger, bringing those two close to each other, and Prophet said, me and the caretaker of one orphan will be like this in the paradise. That means you will be that close to Rasulullah in the paradise if you have taqwa. So this is the reward of somebody who takes care of one orphan in his life. And then Imam al-Baqir al-Islam has said, Wasa'il al-Shia, that man ankara minkum qasawata qalbihi. Some people have qasawat al-qalb. Isn't it right? When we do a lot of sins, God forbid, it happens that we become immune to the harams. So when we become immune to the harams, this is called shaqawatul qalb in ilm al-akhlaq. A person is now stone-hearted because he doesn't even feel bad on what he did. Not feeling bad on what he did because it's normal. It's okay. What's wrong? If I am, you know, doing a haram, so what's wrong? A whole bunch of other people are doing the same. What happened to them? The same regular satanic deception process. So a person who feels normal after doing the sin, doesn't repent, doesn't feel bad, doesn't condemn him or his own behavior, doesn't turn back to the straight path, because sin we do it in when we get off the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We can never do the sin as long as we are following the Sirat al-Mustaqim. On the Sirat al-Mustaqim there is no sin. Sirat al-Mustaqim is the path of Noor. You cannot have Zulmat al-Noor. So that's a very basic thing. When we do the sin, we are off the track. We are not on Sirat al-Mustaqim. We are basically, and everything else is Jahannam, because Sirat al-Mustaqim is
is a straight path which is walking either through the fire or over the hellfire. So basically, feeling normal without tawbah, without feeling the need of nadamat and repentance, Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam has said, "Adnadmu tawbatun." If nadamat and repentance is tawbah. So if we have the real nadamat and repentance in the qalb, it will always force us to do the proper tawbah with its all, seven ways and conditions. So becoming normal and immune after sin makes a person shaqeel qalb, stone-hearted or worse. And then if we still continue the wrong path and do not do the tawbah, after a while, a stage arrives that the person becomes qasiyul qalb. First a person becomes qasiyul qalb, and then after a while a stage arrives when a person becomes shaqiyul qalb. So shaqawatul qalb is a stage which is point of no return. If a person reaches the level of shaqawatul qalb, he cannot return back from that stage. So qasawatul qalb is ahead of shaqawatul qalb. So qasawat is a big red flag in Islamic morality. When a person feels this qasawatul qalb, man ankara minkum qasawata qalbihi, whoever realizes that I'm wrong, I'm doing wrong, there's wrong in me, I have qasawat of the qalb. Like another hadith where Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that ma jaffatid dumu illa li qaswatil qulub. Tears don't dry up except because of the qaswatul qalb. Some people are qasiyul qalb, that's why they don't end up crying. So wama qasatul qulub illa li kasratiz dhunub, and the eyes and the qulub don't become qasi except because of abundance of sins. So abundance of sins cause a person to become qasiyul qalb. So if we realize that we are wrong when we become qasiyul qalb, we haven't become shaqiyul qalb yet, God forbid, which is the point of no return. But in qasiyul qalb, which is because of abundance of sins, then what is the recipe now? Where should we go from here? What's the solution? Look at the solution that Imam al-Baqir al-Islam is giving in Wasail al-Shia. Man ankara minkum qasawata qalbihi fal yudni yateeman. He should get close to a yateem child. Fal yulatifhu wal yamsah yadahu bi ra'sahu. He should do lutf, that means merciful behavior towards the child. Get close to a yateem child, an orphan child. Do a lutf and merciful behavior towards the yateem child. Wal yamsah ra'sahu. He should rub his head, the head of the yateem child. Yalinu qalbuhu bi iznillah. His heart will become soft with the izn and permission of Allah. So the qasawat of the qalb will go away if you visit a yateem person and show your mercy towards a yateem child and you rub your hand over the head of a yateem child. It's extremely, extremely emphasized mustahab thing in Islam that we mashu ra'sil yateem, rubbing the hand. Every hair which passes under your hand, Allah gives one hasana for you and constructs a palace for you. Another hadith from Rasulullah says that Ya Ali, man kafa yateeman fi nafaqatihi bimalihi hatta yastaghniya wajabat lahu aljannatu albattata. That means Prophet said to Imam Ali Islam, whoever takes care of one orphan in fi nafaqatihi, that means the expenses of an orphan, you take care of all the expenses of one orphan, hatta yastaghniya, so then he ends up in a situation he doesn't stand in need of any further help. So you take care of his expenses basically. Jannat is wajib for that person, certainly. And last hadith before I move forward on that subject, the last hadith from Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam, where he says that ahsinu fi aqibi ghayrikum tuhsanu fi aqibikum. You do good towards the lineage of others, and good will be done towards your lineage.
So if I die today, and you know, I have my children, and I want my children to be taken care of, then the best protection for my children is that I take care of the children of others. Allah will make sure from His own ways, from the ghaib, that my children are taken care of. Next point of Islamic morality is about al-afw, forgiving. We have two things in Islamic morality, al-afw and as-safh. So we need to forgive, and safh, concept of safh, sad and fa and ha, that's superior than al-afw. Al-afw means somebody comes and seeks forgiveness from you and you forgive the person. Whereas safh means you don't even ask somebody or wait for somebody to come and seek forgiveness from you. You forgive him from far away, you know, without him coming to you and begging you for forgiveness. You are so high in your morality that you can just forgive him without him asking you. So these are both the sifat of a mu'min. Let's see what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is saying about al-afw, forgiveness. Qala Rasulullah, he says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, alaykum bil afw, fa innal afw la yazeedul abda illa izzan. Have forgiveness, that means have this attribute that you forgive, because forgiveness doesn't increase in a servant except izzat. We will increase in dignity and honor. Everybody loves to be honored in the society. But there are reasons. Allah has provided asbab for certain things, because He is running the universe with the sabab and musabab, cause and effect theory. We have to do, and ahkam and shar'iyya are ilalun takweeniyya. That's how we believe. Isn't that right? Our entire sharia has takweeni, asarun takweeniyya. Just like a poison kills, this is asarun takweeni. Just like, so you fast and you get this impact. You pray and you get this impact. You give sadaqah and you get this impact. It's an inbuilt, irreversible impact of everything that you do in the sharia. Asarun takweeniyya are irreversible. Isn't that right? In addition to asarun shar'iyya, the ahkam of sharia also has asarun takweeniyya. So we find, that's why we find our salat will become, tajassud. We believe in tamassul and tajassud al-amal. We will see the salat in the suratul nuraniyya in the qabr. Isn't that right? Because that's the asarun takweeniyya of the salat, apart from the asarun shar'i, which is the reward and jannat. We see the suratul nuraniyya for sawm, for fasting, a nurani face inside the qabr for all the fastings that we did. We see the suratul nuraniyya for the sadaqat, for the help we provide to the mu'min brothers. So these are all asarun takweeniyya for the a'mal. So these asar is what the Prophet used to see, these asar, isn't it right? He cannot tolerate the sins. Then inna zuhurakum, didn't Rasulullah say inna zuhurakum saqilatum, your backs are burdened with your sins, fakhaffifu anha bitul sujudikum. So Prophet was seeing the burdens of all the sins in the back, just like a person is walking, like, you know, lots of big load he's carrying over his back. So the every sin is increasing the zulmani, dark burden on the back of the person, and all these sins will be, you know, appearing in the form of aghlal and salasil. Is al aghlal fi anaqihim wa salasil. So yushabun. So these aghlal and salasil, you know, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says in his dua, at the time of the death, you know, wasaratil a'malu aghlalan fil a'naq. That means the actions at the time of death, what happens, all the actions are now converted in the form of chains hanging in the neck. Now the person cannot even raise his chin, his head up, because now all the sins that he did, you find the asarun takweeniyya now there in the form of chains burdening you. So basically, we need izzat. Everybody needs izzat and dignity, and we have to have
have to do certain things to get their izzat. One of the things is forgiving others. So then he says, فَتَعَافُوا يُعَزُّكُمُ اللَّهُ. You forgive each other. Allah will, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give izzat to you. Obviously, let's not misinterpret the teachings. Forgiving those who are your enemies and my enemies. If somebody misbehaves towards me, I should try my best. I have a right in Islam, you have a right in Islam to reciprocally do exactly the same what the person did. But then, you are not high in your morals if you do so. So if we do reciprocally exactly the same what the person did, nothing more than that, then if we do more, then we will be zalim. But if we do exactly, reciprocally, we do exactly the same, he said this to me, I said the same to him, then I'm not high in my morality. Obviously, the person who al-badi ahlam, the person who starts, is more of an oppressor. But this person who reciprocally replies back is also not high in his morality. But if we forgive, then basically we get higher. But then we are talking about forgiving people who are our enemies. We are not talking about forgiving people who are the enemies of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Let's not mix up the Islamic concepts of forgiveness. We don't have the right to forgive anybody who disrespects Rasulullah or Ahlul Bayt. They have the right if they were present here. We don't have the right to forgive on behalf of the Prophet. Even the Mujtahid doesn't have the right to forgive the insulter of Rasulullah or Ahlul Bayt on the behalf of Rasulullah. No Mujtahid has the niyabat and proxy of forgiving people in the niyabat of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt. This niyabat is not given. If the Prophet is here, he can forgive if he wants. He's not here, our job is to, justice needs to be served. So let's not mix up the concept of forgiveness. We are talking about forgiving people who are doing bad to me and you, not towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikram al-jar, respecting the neighbor. There is hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says, "Man aza jarahu harram Allahu alayhi rihal jannah." Whoever tortures his neighbor, Allah makes the smell of paradise haram on him. But it's not mentioned in this hadith, but another hadith informs us that the smell of paradise reaches from the Masirat Khams, from the travel of 500 years of travel. How much can you travel if you keep on traveling for 500 years, how far can you go? The travel of 500 years of travel, that's the stretch, that's the extension where the smell of paradise reaches. So you can imagine how far a person will be away from the rahmat of Allah on the Day of Judgment because he's away from the rahmat of Allah here. Didn't we just discuss minutes ago that all the ahkam of Sharia have asarum takwiniyya, just like poison kills? So this exactly because he did something here, that's why he would be like that there. So whoever tortures his neighbor, there is no distinction between who the neighbor is, even though he may be a kafir. There are three things. Salasun lam yaj'alallahu fihinna rukhsatan. Three things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not provide any leave for a person. So nobody is exempt. You know, al-birru bil-walidain, and doing good and dutiful behavior towards the parents, barrayni kana aw fajirain, whether the parents are good doing parents or fajir parents who are doing harams. Regardless of that, you have to do good behavior and dutiful behavior towards the parents. And ikramul jar, you know, doing good, respecting your neighbor, doing nice behavior, respectful behavior towards your neighbor, whether he's a good doing person or a bad doing person, a mu'min or kafir, doesn't matter. So in all the cases, we do good behavior towards the neighbor. So man arajarahu harramallahu alayhi riha al-jannah wa ma'awahu jahannam, his place of refuge is jahannam, wa bi'sa al-masir, what a bad place to end up with. Wa man dhayya'a haqqa jarihi falaysa minna. And then Prophet said, whoever wastes the right of his neighbor is not one of us. Not one of us means he's not entitled to be called a Muslim. And ikramu kareem al-qawm, respect, another value of Islam is respecting the respectable person of every nation. Whenever you find a person is respectable in his own nation, one person comes from the Buddhist community, let's suppose, the Buddhist community respects him, we will respect him, isn't that right? If one person comes from the Jewish community, one person comes from the Hindu community, he's respectable in his own community, we will respect him. So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Kafi, volume 2. He says that, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ كَرِيمَ قَوْمٍ فَأَكْرِمُوهُ, when a respectable person of a nation comes to you, respect him. So, julus, sitting with the people in a gathering. Prophet says, La tajlisu bayna ithnayni illa biiznihima. Don't sit between two people except with their permission. When you find two people are sitting and talking to each other, they may be talking about a private subject. This is a basic Islamic morality. We don't disturb the people in their private talk. Abu Zar rahmatullahi alayh saw that Prophet was sitting, and Dihyatul Kalbi, who was one of the Ashab of Rasulullah, was sitting also. So he was coming towards the Prophet, and he saw that Dihyatul Kalbi is sitting, so he turned away and walked away. And the hadith says that it was, the riwayat says that it was Jibreel who came in the form of Dihyatul Kalbi. And Jibreel said to the Prophet, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, that Abu Zar, you know, should have come and talk, you know, come here, so we would say salam to him. Obviously, Abu Zar didn't come because he didn't want to disturb Rasulullah. It's part of the basic ethics in your city. You find some people, some two people are talking, you don't disturb them. And that's where, remember that famous dua of Abu Zar, that in that narration, Jibreel narrated that dua to Rasulullah, that the dua of Abu Zar is recited by some of the angels in the sama, in the heaven, you know, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-iman bika wa at-tasdiqa bi nabiyyika wal 'afiyata min kulli bala' wa shukra 'ala al-'afiya wal ghina 'an shirari an-nas. That was the dua of Abu Zar that Jibreel mentioned in front of Rasulullah at that time. So we don't sit and disturb the people in their private talk. Ta'ziyatul musab, another value, an Islamic moral value system. If you find somebody who is affected by a calamity, a trouble, a problem, a sorrow, a pain, a hardship, somebody died in his family, whatever musibat has struck that person, we do the ta'ziyat to a fellow mu'min brother. Man azza musaban kana lahu mislu ajrihi min ghayri an yantaqisa min ajri al-musabi shay'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever performs a ta'ziyat, condolences to a person who is affected, he will get the same reward as this person. For every musibat we get the reward, isn't that right? In Islam, if a mu'min is subjected to masaib, it's all rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-bala'u bil-mu'mini imtihan walil-kafiri adab walil-anbiya'i daraja. When bala comes, it's an imtihan for a mu'min, for a kafir it's azab, for anbiya it's the means of raf'ud darajat, elevation of their levels. So if one night a person does not sleep from the pain, 1 year of his sins are forgiven. If you could not sleep for one night out of your pain, 1 year of your sins are forgiven. You find some of the very nice people, before their death, before the time of Sakaratul Maut, taking of the soul
out of the body comes, they are in extreme pain. This is not the sign that this person is a bad person. You know, some of our very great, great personalities were in a lot of pain at the time of death. And some of the very bad people have vaharan, apparently, very easy death. So none of those two are signs for us to say that this person is now a bad, good person and that person is a bad person. We can't say that. We learn in the light of the hadith that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a mu'min person, He gives him musibat at the time of before the death, so he gets cleaned up from a little bit something that he may have in his book of deeds. He gets cleaned up, so he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a sin. And some of the bad doers who may have done some good, Allah makes their death times easier for them, so that serves as the reward of their good deeds in this dunya. So when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have nothing good to declare and get the reward. So we need to do the ta'ziyat of musab. Insaf, doing justful behavior towards all the people. Amir Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, that be pleased for the people what you are pleased with them for yourself, you would be a Muslim. So this is a basic Islamic moral value that we always keep in mind, that we need to love for others. We should be pleased for others with things that we are pleased for ourselves. So giving away the used up clothes to people, or the broken chairs and sofas to the Islamic Center, or broken chairs to the Sunday school, or unusable items to a masjid, is not the Siratul Mustaqim in Islam. Siratul Mustaqim is that we give things that we want for ourselves. So what we like for ourselves, that's the same thing we like for every other person. This is such a great Islamic moral value that it will relieve us from a lot of wrongs in our life. If we, doing ghibat, hasad, namima, all so many things, tohmat. Before slander and tohmat, if I think that, do I like the same for myself? If somebody was doing that kind of talk against me, if I think like this, obviously my lifestyle will change forever. So this is such a beautiful moral value that has very wide impact on our spirituality. Ya Ali, ma karehtahu li nafsika faqrahu li ghayrika. Prophet said to Muhammad alayhi salam, what you dislike for yourself, O Ali, what you dislike for yourself, dislike it for others. In other words, wama ahbabtahu li nafsika fa ahibbahu li akhika. What you love for yourself, love it for your brother. Takun adalan. So that's how you will become adil. So if I like something else for my son, something else for myself, something else and something else for the other person's son, that means I'm not adil. This is not the way, this is not the justice. So I do the same behavior towards others how I want to do for them. تَكُنْ عَادِلًا فِي حُكْمِكَ. Then you will be adil in your hukm. And muqsitan fi adlika, you will do qist in your adl. Muhibban fi ahli sama, you will be among the ahli sama, a muhib person. And mawdudan fi sudur ahli al-ard, and you will be a beloved person in the hearts of the dwellers of earth. Ihfaz wasiyati, inshallah, protect my advice, inshallah. Then the last thing which I would mention before we come to the end, inshallah, tonight, is ar-rahmu al-nas. That means having mercy on the people. Man la yarham al-nasa la yarham Allahu.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever doesn't have mercy on the people, Allah doesn't have mercy on him. Man la yarhamu an-nasa la yarhamu Allah. So another hadith from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, ajibtu liman yarju rahmatan min fawqihi kayfa la yarham man dunahu. I am surprised somebody who is hoping to get rahmat and mercy from the top, from his top, that means from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, why doesn't he have rahmat on those who are lower than him? That means our subordinates. How we behave towards our subordinates or those who are under us, so that's how we will get the mercy from Allah, in other words. Probably we are at the end, yeah. So inshallah we'll continue. This is just a little bit remaining, and then finally inshallah we will come to the most important aspect of Iman, which is about the wajh and qalb. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. If you have any question about related to the speech, we have a couple of minutes for that.